You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
Hour number two, Rodo Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Promising you're going to get through your streaming defenses and quarterbacks today. Scotty and I are having a little debate during the break about one. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show. But I want to kick off hour number two, as I do once a week here, Corey.
With a culturally biased game?
No. There's no game.
Here we go again.
There's no game. It's just an update on a player.
Andrew Luck.
Ah, yes. My good friend Andy.
Yeah. Guess what he did yesterday?
He practiced in limited fashion yesterday.
Yes, he did.
He came back, had the red jersey on. He was throwing the ball at practice.
It's looking like week seven or eight.
Week seven or eight? Week seven or eight? He was asked yesterday, Andrew Luck, hey, what's the deal? When are you going to play? I'm going to play this season.
He might have to run the scout team next week.
I'm going to play this season. From Stephen Holder, a good beat reporter with the Colts out there. He said, listen, Andrew Luck's obviously already ruled out for this week. He's not going to play next week. The earliest you're looking at, the absolute earliest, is going to be week seven.
Yeah, he probably has to run the scout team next week to make sure that he's up to snub. So he get out there next week, get a couple practice in, he'll run the scout team. Once they see that he can run the scout team, then he'll be getting ready. Then he'll go through another week of practice, and then we'll see him on the field for week seven. Which is half, it gives you, you have half of the fantasy regular season. So you have 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13 to get to the playoffs with Andrew Luck. Where he was going later on in the 10th rounds and stuff like that, I would sign up for that.
This is a huge week for the Colts. The Colts win this game. That's their second win of the season. And they're still in it. So if they could be somewhere a game or two back when Andrew Luck comes, you know, is ready to play, that's going to make a huge difference.
But let's see what luck we get. Like, are you, if he comes back, let's say he comes back week seven. Let's be optimistic, which is silly because it's Andrew Luck. But let's be optimistic. And the reason, by the way, it took him so long, he had a very different type of rotator cuff surgery that he admitted yesterday. It wasn't just your standard rotator cuff procedure.
Yeah, because it's been torn for 3 years.
Correct. So let's say the optimistic approach. He comes back week seven at home against the Jags. A good secondary there with Jacksonville.
I'd have to look at my options. If I have a better option that first week, I want to keep him on the bench. See how we perform. Especially the Jags' run defense is worst. Pass defense is best.
Absolutely. Yeah, and Corey was talking about this in the preseason. He said, you know, you can wait. Or if you're going to draft a Luck, you know, you get a Matthew Stafford. If you got a Stafford or if you got a Deshaun Watson, you can wait and see how Luck performs.
Yeah. Okay. You know, I take a look. And I agree with what you're saying. You take a look and you see what
kick
you have.
Kick the tires.
Entire. I agree with that. Okay, let's take a break. This is your Andrew Luck update for this morning. We are going to take a break here. I want to come back, talk about a couple of more updates from yesterday, and then get into a Thursday night football preview. So we're back for the morning on Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money, and lots of it, by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
Rodo Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I did mention Andrew Luck. I also do want to mention, looks like Marlon Mack will return this week for the Indianapolis Colts.
Oh.
Never know. Frank Gore gets hurt. Never know what happens. So just wanted to say that out there, Corey. But if you don't care, that's fine.
No, I appreciate that. But I'm like, he's not a thing.
No, yeah, he's not a thing. But he's somebody, if I have the bench space and, you know, I don't know. Like I said, I'm the guy that keeps going against Frank Gore, keep being wrong.
Right. Well, I mean, like,
it's probably going to happen for the next 5 years.
Would you rather own Marlon Mack or like J.D. McKissick?
Probably own Marlon Mack. I think at some point he's going to have.
I think the opportunity might be there quicker for him.
So I don't agree, because there's four guys there.
Yeah, but you have three of them who could all get hurt. You know what I'm saying? Frank Gore is durable.
And that he is, and he has been for a long time right now. Let's talk about another running back injury, guys. And that's Carlos Hyde. Carlos Hyde seemed like a legitimate question mark, a legitimate game-time decision this past Sunday. But it didn't matter. He played through it, and he says, I feel even better this week. I've come back great. I'm good to go this week. It makes you feel very, very good if you're a Carlos Hyde owner, especially because he's always somebody you have to worry about. So Carlos Hyde looks fine, which is great.
Yeah, and he soldiered through it. It's a terrific matchup for him this week, too.
Finally.
My lineup ranks on rotoexperts.com right now. I got him top six.
I got to ask you, he's saying terrific matchup, but hasn't the Colts like shown that like, they're not too terrible against the run?
Well, I think they've given up about 22 points a game to like opposing running backs.
They haven't been terrible against the run, but... I mean, Carlos Hyde shredded the Seahawks defense and stuff.
Listen, Carlos Hyde had a matchup proof. I mean, you're throwing out Carlos Hyde no matter what. But I feel like we keep saying the Colts are this great matchup, and we keep getting a little disappointed by what
I think this is actually going to be a fun game, this Colts and the Colts, San Fran game.
The Colts, at times, haven't been bad against the run, but, you know, there's times that they've been inconsistent against the run. And, you know, it's a good matchup for Hyde, you know, on paper in terms of fantasy points allowed. And, you know, you figure he has to be the crux of that offense. You got to take pressure off of Hoyer.
Alrighty. Speaking of running backs that are hurt, this kind of went under the radar a little bit on Monday. Wendell Smallwood got hurt in Sunday's game and did not practice yesterday.
Yeah.
And, listen, it's a Wednesday practice. Could be a rest day. We obviously know that. We'll follow up. But Wendell Smallwood was hurt. That means a whole lot of LeGarrette Blount, who I know you've talked about a lot, Corey.
Yeah.
And it could mean even more of Corey Clement, who it seems like they do have his like for.
Corey Clement could get on the field, get some more snaps, and reduce the situation where Smallwood ends up having to be out. But LeGarrette Blount, he was on the waiver wire of mine last night, and he went for over $500. So
I don't mind that. I really don't.
And I think I agree with you. So,
Blount now is averaging the most yards after contact in the NFL.
Does that surprise you, though?
What?
It's what he should do. It's LeGarrette Blount.
You watch those games, and, you know, he's been very, very impressive. And, look, Arizona, you know, has been pretty good against the run, but you got to roll Blount out there for sure as an RB2. You know, with all the injuries, with all the buys, you know, somebody got to be confident in this week.
Would you play him? Would you start him over Isaiah Crowell this week?
Definitely.
He's just been
the better running back.
And look,
I think I'm going back to the Crow Show too.
He said again that he still believes in him. It's the Jets.
They got to get a win. If they can get a positive game script, I think we can see something from Crowell. This is a team that they should be able to play with the Jets.
Look,
you figure they should be able to play with the team they play with.
I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I think Kevin Hogan gives us a better chance to win.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I'm not saying Crowell is going to suck, although he probably will. But
Scott's relevant.
But LeGarrette Blount is just though. He's the better running back right now. He's and I got to go with the better running back. It's like, you know. This is five times. If I say Crowell doesn't do it this week, and we said it last week, it's like, don't give up time.
Starting to sound like Todd Gurley from last season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I look at the all-in kids lineup rankings right now. He got Crowell at 22.
I got him at 24.
He got Blunted.
We'll take a look at Scotty's rankings coming up a little bit later on in the show. Now, other news and notes from yesterday, these are small bits. I did pick up Corey Clement in one spot when it comes to Wendell Smallwood. I thought it worked. Everyone was kind of desperate for running backs. I didn't think it was the worst ad in the world. So I went and picked up Corey Clement.
Nifty. I like it.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
All right. Kenny Britt doesn't practice yesterday. How badly do the Browns want to cut this dude?
Oh, they want to cut him, and they want to cut him like right now. I was going to drop Rashad Higgins, and I wound up dropping Fleener, wound up going in the bid, and I didn't wind up winning the other bids. So hopefully, like I said, they got to do something at the court. They have to win a game, the Browns. It's gotten to the point where you got to win right now. And Kaiser just doesn't seem to be the man to do the job.
We'll see. We'll,
there's the other side of it, though. You know, the Jets have actually played pretty well, and this team could easily go 0-5 and stink it up again.
They could.
No, the Jets could actually be 3-2.
Legitimately.
That's insane. They're Vegas.
And the Giants could
win
be
0-5. Total 4.5.
Yeah.
Kenny Galladay also didn't practice once again. It seems like the shine has worn off Mr. Galladay.
Look, I thought prior to that first game of the season where, you know, he had a couple of touchdowns, I thought at some point this season later on he'd become a thing, more of a red zone target. He popped that first week and then, you know, he's been deflated ever since. But it's somebody I would still keep in mind rest of the season.
Okay.
I'm not saying you got to roster him now.
I agree. I agree. Put him on your watch list.
Yes,
put him on
your list. Hold on. I got 200 on the watch list right now.
Yeah, I'm sure. Exactly. That's my point. Yeah. All right. So then the last piece of news comes for tonight, and that's with the injury to Rob Gronkowski. The latest and greatest. Gronk was put on the injury report yesterday with a thigh injury and is officially questionable for tonight. Now, word out of the Patriots and word from Ian Rappaport as early as this morning says, listen, he's expected to play tonight in Tampa Bay, but, quote, figures to be limited some. I don't know if that means anything, but it is what it is. You're going to put Gronk in your lineup, but this just kind of shows you, hey, this is kind of what happens when you own Rob Gronkowski.
It's something that you sign up for when you put them on your team, so you got to roll with it.
Gronk and the Patriots face off against Tampa Bay tonight, and as Matt has said on multiple occasions this morning, you have the worst defenses in the NFL going up against each other tonight. It should be a high-scoring affair, so we should probably expect a, you know, a 13-10 or so.
Of course.
Yeah.
But
I don't think you can look at Tom Brady and expect 13 points.
He put up 13 points in a 6-point.
Where's your sense of humor?
He put up 13 points in a 6-point passing league week one. And then after that, he became TFB again.
Yep.
The Patriots, the Bucks. I think you start everybody. Like
everybody.
Balls to the wall.
Yeah, no, almost even Adam Humphrey.
Oh, I would even consider Adam Humphreys. I got Humphreys this week.
Let me ask you this. I'm going to throw something wild out there. If you're a very deep league, you're desperate for
that
running back. the Patriots have given up the most, by far, the most receiving yards and receptions to running backs. What about Charles Sims?
I'm out on Charles Sims.
No, you don't get enough snaps.
I think Quiz could get that role.
Quiz could get that role.
He's got Martin getting involved. I mean, I don't know the extent of what he's going to play. They're right for being coy about it. I wouldn't be coming out saying he's going
to, of course. You know, at no point has Dirk Cutter proven any like for Charles Sims. He just does not like this dude. So
Charles Sims was ever going to prove anything he had a couple of games to do it.
Yeah, a couple of games last year, a couple of games this year, you got nothing. Yeah, Charles Sims isn't a thing here with Dirk Cutter as the coach.
You say you start everybody. Do you roll Deion Lewis out there if you have bye week problems?
I think you can.
Here's the guy tonight. I'm looking at wide receiver cornerback matchups on Pro Football Focus. Brandon Cooks has supposedly a good matchup. Hogan is going against Grimes, who came back last week. That's not a good matchup. So look for Brandon Cooks, in my opinion. I think the guy, you know, this team's shown last week they have issues with it. They're showing all season. I like Cooks tonight.
I got Hogan top 10 this week.
And that's where we've gone, right? With Chris Hogan as a top 10.
They have your boy Cooper Kupp as a great matchup here.
That's where you can burn Seattle in the slot.
You stated the other day.
Yep.
You said that yesterday. Yep. I asked you about it. But when it comes to tonight's game, the over-under is, what, 55.5 or something like that?
55.5
for Tampa and New England. So you get everybody in. I have no problem starting Adam Humphries tonight. I think if you're absolutely desperate, you could start Deion Lewis.
In one league with Chris Vaccaro, we're starting D-Jax and Amendola, Crabtree. I'm not even worried about it.
Yeah,
you got to sit on the bench right now.
Yeah, no, this is, you want a piece of this game right here tonight.
Which was on a Sunday, so you can run this DFS stack.
Well, you could play DFS tonight, don't they?
They don't eliminate Thursday from the slate.
You could run a DFS stack.
I don't play DFS on Thursdays.
That's your own decision.
What are you doing on Thursday that you can't play? You can't set a lineup.
I do all my research probably more between today and Sunday for the Sunday games. I like playing on the bigger slate.
Play the Thursday, Monday slate, right?
Yeah, what's up with that?
You take your time, man.
I do. That's how they like it.
not at that length though.
Well, you explore length a lot, I know.
Sorry, Greg.
When we come back, we're actually going to take a look. We heard Cooper Kupp, and we heard a little bit about Adam Humphries, Deion Lewis. We're going to take a look at where Scotty has these guys ranked and take a look at Scotty's Week 5 lineup ranks on the other side. It's Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
RotoExperts.com/DKMNS. It's a website to go to find out more information about trying to help blood cancer. Of course, you could become a bone marrow donor. You could just sign up, swab your cheeks, and find out if you are a match to donate some blood. It's a very easy procedure. It's a very easy procedure. And it doesn't take that long. So if you're interested in learning more about that, please head on over to RotoExperts.com/DKMS and learn more. Scroll to the bottom of the page, click a link, and then you can go participate in a daily fantasy game. And you have an opportunity to go to the Super Bowl. You guys better shut your mics off, honestly. This is like crazy.
My mic is off.
That's insane. RotoExperts.com/DKMS. And that's where you go to have a chance to go to the Super Bowl. And you play the daily fantasy game this week. You qualify to play in week 17. And then if you win in week 17, you go to the Super Bowl in Minneapolis. But the important thing is head on over to RotoExperts.com/DKMS to learn more information. We'll have a guest from DKMS on the Fantasy Football Best Friends Forever coming up at 11 a.m. Eastern Time.
I don't think that contest includes the third Thursday game, though.
It does not.
No. And any of the 9:30 starts either.
It is a Sunday-only contest. So it wraps up, starts Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, rather, and wraps up Sunday night. RotoExperts.com/DKMS.
I like the way they structure the game and, whoa, you know, have sort of the prices are very on point, I feel. And it's not a knock on any other fantasy site, but, yeah, I think it's also good, too, because if you're new at daily, too, like Fantasy Factor is kind of like a company that kind of caters to the mainstream player. You don't play against all the sharks. It's great if you've actually never played daily before. You know, you get in for free, you do it for a good cause, and, you know, it's not, you don't have to worry about playing against sharks either. You have a legitimate chance to win.
I'm the shark, Scott.
Let's get into the lineup ranks, Scott, from you, sir, over at RotoExperts.com. We're not going to throw all of them, of course. You got to pay for that. It's RotoExperts.com. It's inside the exclusive Edge in-season package at RotoExperts.com. It's the Kings Week 5 lineup ranks, Scott. And I want to start off simply at the quarterback position where there's two things that really stand out to me here. And you mentioned one of them. I don't know if it's on the air during the break, in all honesty. And that's Jared Goff. And Jared Goff is your number 14-ranked quarterback this week, facing the Legion of Boom. Now, we said that Seattle is actually underdogs in this matchup, depending on where you're looking. Even in some places, they're plus one in other places. Jared Goff, what makes you like him at home against Seattle this week?
Seahawks just haven't played well on the road so far. And the Rams always play well against them. It's kind of a spillover effect because that defensive line always dominates the offensive line. So I think the defense will continue to spend a lot of time on the field. The Rams' offensive line has improved. And I think Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp, you know, might do some damage, you know, here this week. I just think the matchup doesn't look good on paper, but I'm going to go contrarian. And the Rams want to make a statement here that we are the new kings of the NFC West. And they can do it at home this week on a long run. Maybe they don't win the division, but early on they have momentum. They're playing well. And Goff, you know, has just come off the only back-to-back 300 passing yard, multiple touchdown games of his career. I think he's going to overcome the matchup here.
You know, to have number 14 is what really is wild to me, Scott, because you have him above some of the other quarterbacks I happen to like more. Like, you have him over Jacoby Brissett, who I know a lot of people like this week against San Francisco. You have him over Tyrod Taylor against Cincinnati. And you're always somebody that when it comes to injuries, you always said that you drop them much lower. You still have Marcus Mariota in your top 20.
Well, he's limited. It's like he would be much higher than he is if I knew he was healthy.
Yeah.
I think this is a big week for Goff. I mean, if he puts up a big passing game this week, I think as much as we've been trying to say, you know, people look at the schedule, I've done it too. It's a home game, but if he puts up promising numbers versus the Seattle defense, you know, maybe that says a lot about the Seattle defense. Maybe that says a lot about Goff.
It's going to be tough. Young quarterback, you plan on inconsistency, especially when you get in a big spot where people are looking to him. So, I don't know. I think the Seahawks show that they still the boss. I really do. Then the Seahawks show that they still the boss.
I think so too.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I think the Seahawks coming in and be like, okay, relax.
Yeah, I actually agree with that.
Would that be your lock of the week, Seattle plus one?
I think you'd have a lock them against the Rams. Yeah. And divisional game, too.
It's screaming at you to take it, which scares me. That's the one thing. It's screaming at you to take Seattle here. Scott, the biggest major difference that you have with the consensus ranks over at Fantasy Pros right now, that's Matthew Stafford. You have Matthew Stafford just barely inside your QB1 status. You have him at number 12. Most people have him inside, very much inside their top 10, possibly their top 5. What don't you like about Matt Stafford this week?
Carolina defense has been pretty good. They're 8th best against opposing quarterbacks. You know, Stafford's at home. I think he'll be able to throw the ball, but I'm seeing at number 12. I'm seeing a respectable game with not a lot of upside.
Okay, do you like Matthew Stafford this week, Corey?
I like Matthew Stafford. I mean, the Panthers deep, giving up just under 200 yards a game, 7 touchdown passes allowed, or 5 touchdown passes allowed so far in the season. It's just Matthew Stafford, just a good player. You feel what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, let me get into the running back ranks now. PPR leagues for the King. And King, the first thing that stands out for me as I look inside your top 24, those are, of course, all RB1s and RB2s, is how low you're on my guy. How low you are on my guy. Lamar Miller. You have Lamar Miller ranked as your RB17. He is a consensus, according to Fantasy Pros, a consensus RB1 this week, in fact, at number 12 against Kansas City. You know, I get it. It's not easy just to find running backs that are any good right now. It's very, very tough, so I get that. But why do you have him so low?
The Chiefs are just very good against running backs, and I just can't look back to last week and be convinced that Miller's going to do again. The Chiefs are the second best AFC team against opposing running backs, you know, in terms of allowing fantasy points, and I think it's going to be much tougher sledding for him this week.
You know, I think, yes, it probably will be, but I'm surprised that some of the running backs that you do have above him, I guess, is what really surprises me. I get it's a PPR league, so it is a bit different. That certainly
right. He's a little higher in the standard,
right? And that would make sense. But you know, I don't know. I would just have it a little differently. That's me. Just for reference, your boy Jake Seeley, the Olin kid, who has his ranks, of course, over at rotoexperts.com in PPR leagues. He's got my man Lamar Miller sitting here at number 11. He actually has it even higher than the consensus does.
Corey, I have 18, you have him 11. You being the big Lamar Miller fan, where do you have him?
I probably would have him right outside the running back one conversation. Lamar Miller's been playing up the snub as of late.
Yeah, there you
so
go.
So far. He's going to screw up sometime soon.
Maybe, you know, maybe the Watson situation has benefited him the
whole
most.
Offense. Yeah, maybe it could be, you know, and then get a chance to share carries, you know, makes his health a little bit more optimal. Where you got Joe Mixon at, Scott?
Scotty has Joe Mixon listed as his number 31 running back this week. That is 13 spots lower than the consensus over at Fantasy Pros. Most have him listed as RB 18 against Buffalo. Scott has him all the way ranked as number 31.
I guess you was going there, too.
I had it on the list.
Sorry.
It's okay. But yeah, Joe Mixon, Scotty, significant difference than everybody else.
Bills have been playing good defense, better against the run, ninth best against the run in terms of fantasy points allowed, and I can't have any confidence after what we saw last week with Mixon that he can take advantage of the opportunity here.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we're all like moving off of Mixon for right now, saying you know you got to bench him and stuff. Bill's defense has played better.
Got him in the lineup.
This is I've had him. He's in quite
not
a few of my lineups.
About it.
I was
at 31. He's not quite a bench. He's more
saying
of a flex.
Like Monday. I'd like to bench him, but maybe this is the week that when we all move away.
We all move away. Yeah,
he shines.
I'm not exactly moving away from him. The way I have him,
31.
I say
is
he's
moving
a
away.
He's a flex. No, if you
31 definitely moving
if,
away.
If you're no, if you're 36, that's a bench, you know, because you 12, 12, 12. I'm using Mixon as a flex in one or two leagues. Like you can't,
Scott, you
can't move
three,
away from.
Oh, come on! I mean, like, I don't
I'm not
to
totally
that.
Off of him. I'm saying he's an RB three.
Yes, I understand that. But you have three Seahawks listed as RB threes. I can't start all three Seahawks this week.
I only have one ahead of him.
You
you still got three Seahawks.
You still have three Seahawks.
You got Eddie Lacy and people lineups this week.
You have three. You do. That's true. You have a number 34. That is an RB 3 that you're saying.
Yeah. You might have to use him as a flex this week.
The same with CJ Burris.
It'd be like Crowell and active and active.
And the same with Thomas Rawls. You have Thomas Rawls listed one spot ahead of Joe Mixon, which is significantly higher than the consensus here. The consensus has him as a number 40. How come you have, in a game that you think the Rams are going to win, why do you have three Seahawks inside your top 36?
I think it might be high scoring. The Rams are the worst team in the NFL against the run in terms of fantasy points allowed. Rawls is going to get the chance to start. I got to take that over Mixon.
You also have your boy Pop Quiz Jacquizz. Scott has him at number 28 this week. Number 28 this week. He likes him ahead of Thomas Rawls, ahead of Alex Collins, and ahead of Joe Mixon. Not ahead of LeGarrette Blount, who, as Scott mentioned a few minutes earlier, has him at number 19 overall, significantly higher than the rest of the pros over at Fantasy Pros. Scotty, you also like Buck Allen here. I think this table does
a
lot.
Yeah,
I like Buck Allen, too, against Oakland. Scotty has him inside his top 20. Consensus has him a little bit lower than
that. I wish
that.
I had him more places, Buck Allen.
Do you know who Scott has? Hold on, this is crazy. U.S. guy has a number 21 that is higher than Doug Martin, higher than Andre Ellington, higher than Marshawn Lynch, and Mike Gillisley.
J.D. McKissick.
Isaiah Crowell.
Oh, the Crow Show.
Interesting, guys.
Hey.
Interesting. All right, take a break. We're going to come back, and when we do, we'll take a look at Scott's wide receiver and tight end rankings here. Coming up next, Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Hey, this is Greg Sussman from the Roto Experts in the Morning, and listen, we could all use a little help sometimes. That's why I talk to three guys every single day that help me with my fantasy teams. But if you need help with your fantasy teams, and you probably do, you should purchase the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football In-Season Package, featuring weekly lineup ranks, chats with our experts every single day, and player cards for every player in the NFL, including reports from InsideInjuries.com. You cannot beat it. Don't set your lineups without checking the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge In-Season Package. Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Roto Experts in the Morning. We're talking about Scotty's lineup ranks here. And, man, I got this questionable decision. I don't really know what to do about it.
Why are we doing about Scott? Why are we talking about Scott's lineup ranks?
Because they're inside the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Package, which you can get right now over at rotoexperts.com.
You have a problem with this?
No, I know. I like it.
Okay.
That's why we're talking about Scott's lineup ranks. I had a feeling he would maybe want to debate some of the certain.
No, I am. Now. I am. I'm going to tear him up.
All
right. I saw these already because I helped him do them last night.
Really? You did?
So you did, and that's why you put Chris Hogan inside your top 10.
Yeah.
I've already apologized to the Chris Hogan people. You want me to do it again?
No.
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't care if you apologize or not. I'm just asking if you believe that Chris Hogan.
I want to hear him do it.
I just wanted to ask you if you believe that Chris Hogan's a top 10 wide receiver.
I can see Chris Hogan being inside the top 10 and Chris Hogan finishing as a wide receiver one this week. I believe he's already finished as a wide receiver one two different weeks on two different occasions so far this season. Has a plus matchup tonight. So, yeah, I don't have no problem with that.
All right, there you go. Chris Hogan's inside the top 10. Scotty, just for reference, your boy Jake Seeley only has him five spots lower at number 15, so not crazy by any means to have Chris Hogan inside the top 10 in a very tasty matchup tonight against Tampa Bay.
Me and Scott worked hard on these rankings last night.
we certainly did. He told me to put Isaiah Crowell number one.
You always met with some resistance, Scott?
What?
Always.
Okay. Scott,
Corey's never been to my house.
I noticed this week you have Tyrell Williams lower than a lot of people do, which is really surprising to me because you have him as a wide receiver four this week. And I'm not a Tyrell Williams guy. I wasn't interested at all this summer in him. I have him absolutely nowhere. But this week, Tyrell Williams is going to be matched up against Eli Apple, who's constantly been burned by teams. If Keenan Allen is theoretically matched up with Janoris Jenkins, who's done a nice job, you have Tyrell Williams on that other side in a matchup with Eli Apple, which, like I said, is one of the matchups you want to go target against. Why aren't you as high on Tyrell Williams as I think you should be?
I just don't trust him, and I feel like they're going to be throwing the ball a lot to the tight ends, you know, et cetera. I don't know if Rivers is going to have that good of a game to begin with, so... I just don't trust Tyrell Williams. He's the kind of guy where if the matchup is good necessarily, I still don't feel that great about it.
In my super, my opponent has Tyrell Williams in the lineup. I have Travis Benjamin in my flex. So let's see who wins that battle.
By the way, the Giants, and I know you're going to point to, you know, it's not just Jenkins, though, but overall, that secondary, they can give him some help. The Giants are like fifth best against opposing wide receivers in terms of fantasy points allowed.
There you go. It's just a second quarterback that I don't mind targeting if I'm going
to
play.
I think they'll go to him, but I expect only like a 5-for-60 kind of game.
I noticed, you know, we talked about Cooper Kupp before. You have Cooper Kupp just outside your top three wide receivers, or your wide receiver threes, I should say. You have him at number 39 this week. Jake doesn't even have him inside his top 50. That seems like a big difference to me when it comes to Cooper Kupp. I'm a Cooper Kupp owner. What do I do?
Jake hates the Kupp.
Right.
Like Kupp this week. I mean, look, Scott made the point the other day about his matchup with Alain. So I think in this bye week, there's guys that I don't want to play that I have to play.
So last night at my house when I was tutoring Corey on how to do in-season lineup ranks, you know, we were talking about the Seahawks in the slot. Now, Justin Coleman has played really good the last few weeks in the slot, but you know, if they can, they might even move Kupp outside and, you know, get him against Shaq Griffin. But traditionally, the Seahawks, if you're going to attack him in the passing game, it's going to be in the slot. I think what they're probably going to do, when I'm thinking it through here, is they're probably going to line up Woods on Richard Sherman's side. Sammy Watkins will probably be outside against Shaq Griffin, which will get some opportunities. And he'll have Kupp in the slot. And I think while Coleman is playing good in terms of intercepting the ball, I think Kupp has too many moves for him.
Corey, where are you on this one?
It's intriguing. I think that I can see where the ranking could be a little bit higher. I think there's going to be enough offense, but I think he'll give you your typical Cooper Kupp style game. You know, I don't see him getting in the end zone this week, but I think that Cooper Kupp, you can get that 6-for-60.
Kupp has had two good games and two quiet games, and both of his good games he scored.
The one thing he does very well is his elusiveness after the catch. So we'll see what happens. It's going to be interesting. Does Seattle want to take him out? Is that somebody that they're going to game plan to take out, Goff's little safety blanket? I mean, we've seen Robert Woods has looked pretty good the last couple of weeks. So
I think they're probably getting, like, Watkins will be the one that they want to take out.
Maybe. Maybe not, though. All right, you know, nothing really else is kind of egregious. Does anyone have any questions, particularly on Scott's rankings here? Certain players that you want to know where the king has them ranked?
Oh, yeah, I don't have no questions. I've seen them already.
Yeah. So I was tutoring Corey on how to do it last night. He's like, how do you actually get the widget, you know, onto the page? That was his biggest question.
I'm glad you answered him. By the way, Scotty has Mike Wallace outside his top 50. Also has Kendall Wright this week with the Hall of Famer throwing it to him outside the top 50 as well. Let's get to the tight ends then, because I think if there's consensus here with the wide receivers, we'll move on to the tight ends here in PPR leagues. The biggest difference, and this doesn't really surprise me, the biggest difference is Scotty has her at 12 and 13. He's got O.J. Howard at number 12. He believes O.J. Howard against New England tonight is a tight end. And one, most people, Scott, barely have him as a tight end too. Is that all matchup based?
It's matchup based. I mean, you look at the Patriots, you know, they're fourth worst against the tight end, probably worst against every other position. Yeah, there's going to be a shootout. You know, you saw O.J. Howard break loose on a busted play last week. I think O.J. Howard can score tonight.
Where do you have Make America Great Again?
I have him fifth.
This week, Scotty not only has Cameron Brate at number 5. You know who's number 4 is?
Hunter Henry.
Inside the top 5 this week, tight ends. Most of the consensus over at Fantasy Pros has him just outside being a tight end 1. Scott, you are going all in against the Giants.
Fantasy Pros has him outside the top
12.
Top 12. I think that's a mistake.
They have him at number 13.
Look at what the Giants, I mean, maybe
I have 9 spots higher than the consensus.
I'm with Scott.
You believe he's top 5 tight end this week?
I don't know if he's top 5, but he's probably definitely top 8.
I think he could score twice this week.
Well, so it's interesting you say that.
Yeah.
Because you also have Antonio Gates number 13. Yeah. So that means you're thinking he scores as well. So you think the tight ends are going to combine for 3 touchdowns at least?
I'm saying there's 2 touchdowns. Maybe Henry has both, or one could go to Gates and one could go to Henry.
Well, if you're saying...
Look, it happened this past week between Howard and Brate.
Absolutely, it could happen. And Scotty believes it could happen again with the Chargers. All in here on this Chargers tight end duo. By the way, talking of the previous bets here on the program, Scotty's got Hunter Henry, like I said, number 4 overall. Eric Ebron, nowhere to be found. Number 24.
My goodness, he's really
I got to start Ebron in the league. And I'm not
I think he's 25th or
something. Hey, let me tell you what. I think both of them score this week.
Ebron scores as well, or Gates?
No, I think Gates and Henry both score this week.
I was hoping you say Ebron.
I got Ebron 24th.
I hope he scored too, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, the experiment is over.
Corey, I know a lot of people are liking here this week Austin Seferian Jenkins against Cleveland.
ASJ
is number 14 in the Kings ranks.
Yeah, now ASJ has been getting some work. He's starting to get mixed in more into the offense. We're starting to see his targets increase, getting a little bit of peppered with targets. So I don't have a problem. Would you flex ASJ?
I think you might have to.
I'm
going to leave.
I don't have a problem with flexing ASJ.
No, I'm looking at some of my lineups.
The Browns are the worst team in the AFC against tight ends. They allow 19.8 fantasy points per game to tight ends.
So I'm in a league where I'm starting Cameron Brate at tight end tonight, and I'm flexing Charles Clay.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. Yeah. You know.
It's not, if I you mean, have those two, the other teams in your league, it must be hurting for tight ends.
The problem is when this happens, right? This is what you have to worry about. Unless they both finish as top 5 tight ends, you're really kind of making a mistake because the tight ends scoring is so all over the place. Like a tight end 12 could have like 7 points in a PPR. So you kind of need them to finish inside the top 5 to justify doing that. But those are 2 guys that can finish inside the top 5. The
problem is,
and then you never know who else is on your bench.
Yeah, I got nothing. I got hurt by the byes. I know Michael Thomas, no Emmanuel Sanders this week.
Yeah.
So that obviously affects me in a major way. I'd want to face me. This team's 0-4. continuing here with the tight ends. You don't like Kyle Rudolph here, and Matt was speaking about it earlier this week that with Dalvin Cook's injury, he thinks Kyle Rudolph could be more of a red zone threat than we've seen in the first few weeks here on the 2017 season. Are you not buying that?
I think I have to see it. I'm not saying it's not possible, but Lat Murray, you know, is the goal line guy. So, I don't think that he has I haven't seen the rapport with Keenum that he has with Bradford.
Do you buy that Kyle Rudolph is barely inside the top 20 this week, Corey?
Yeah, I do buy that.
Okay.
It's tough. It's tough for Kyle Rudolph right now. Not really getting the work he got last year, not to mention the fact you got to look at the quarterback as being Case Keenum. So, yeah, it's not all peaches and cream for Kyle Rudolph right now.
It's got other names that I think you have slightly low. Tyler Kroft, I think, He's got number 23 this week. I think you have him slightly lower than I would. I know this is crazy.
The Bills have been pretty good against the tight end. They've allowed just under 10 points per game to the position.
All he needs is a touchdown, yeah. though. Tyler Kroll has an affinity for that end zone.
I don't like Andy Dalton this week.
Oh, I know you don't hate Andy Dalton. I looked at that a little bit earlier on. A sneaky tight end this week. I know I hate that I'm going to say this, but I think a sneaky tight end this week is Julius Thomas.
Why?
Tennessee's brutal in the secondary. Julius Thomas had some opportunities last week, didn't come down with them. I think he's a sneaky tight end play.
I can dig it.
Yeah.
Tight ends are middle of the pack against tight ends, like 11.8 allowed. I just feel like Thomas is not involved, and it's Cutler.
I understand that it's Cutler. But you have Austin Seriani Jenkins, number 14. It's McCown.
It's McCown.
You know, so it's...
Yeah, but, you know, they're going against the Browns, and...
I understand.
The Browns are the worst team in the AFC against tight ends.
No, I heard it the first time you said it. Yeah.
I think Seriani Jenkins is actually a better player right now than Julius Thomas.
It might be. He might be. I'm just saying, we can't always look at the quarterback all the time when it comes to these players. All right, take a break. When we come back, I'm going to tell you guys of a trade I made yesterday in a league. Small trade, one for one. I wanted to get your thoughts. Roto Experts in the Morning. We continue on here right after this.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Scott, I do find it interesting in your lineup rank this week, not that you wouldn't have him high, but you have Odell Beckham Jr. ranked as your number one overall wide receiver. When you're facing a duo in Los Angeles right now that includes Casey Hayward as well as Trevor Williams, both pro football grades having like almost both over 85, both the score of over 85, which is very, very good.
I just think, you know, the Giants have no running game. They have to throw.
But he's facing two really good quarterbacks.
Yeah, but it's Odell Beckham Jr.
Okay. I'm not saying to bench him. I'm just saying I'm surprised you have number one and not Mike Evans, who's facing the Patriots, the worst secondary in NFL history tonight.
Well, you know, I that doesn't mean I don't like him, though. But
I never say you like him. I think he won 1-1-1-2. I'm not.
I feel like ultimately it's about share. Yep, I feel like Beckham is the guy there where, you know, Jameis Winston have the opportunity to spread the ball around more. And then, you know, you take a look at the fantasy points against tight ends. I mean, against wide receivers. I mean, the Chargers are like in the middle of the pack. You know, they do allow 34.3 points per game to opposing wide receivers. So, you know, it's not like they've been shut down either.
No,
we've seen them getting, you know, other teams throw on them too.
Oh, I understand, but it's the quarterbacks that happen to have been really, really good, though. I understand the secondary as a whole may be allowing some points, but the quarterbacks themselves.
I don't think anybody can shut down Odell Beckham.
Not saying they can. I'm just saying that.
That's why he's number one. He's to me, he's matchup proof.
Thinking I'd have Mike Evans number one personally here this week. Scott, I made a trade yesterday. I wanted to get your opinion on it. All right, it was a small trade. And the answer is going to stem from your opinion on Jamison Crowder, who has obviously been arguably the worst fantasy player in all of fantasy football here this week. So I made a trade, and the trade was, I want to tell you which side I was on. I traded, I don't want to say I traded. The trade was Jamison Crowder for Jerron Brown. What side would you want to be on that?
I think I'd want to be on the Jerron Brown side. I had him hide him in my in-season ranks on rotoexperts.com. The Cardinals constantly have to throw, and other teams are going to try to take away Fitzgerald. It's going to continue to give Brown those opportunities. You can't depend on either one because when John Brown is in there, he factors in the mix. But it's like Jamison Crowder doesn't look healthy to me, and he's not a priority in the passing game.
No, he's absolutely not. He's somebody.
So I'd rather have Brown.
He's somebody that Washington has. I don't want to say phased out, but he doesn't look healthy. I agree. And Kirk Cousins has proven he's going to throw the ball to the open guy. He doesn't care if Jameson Crowder or Terrell Pryor or Jordan Reed or Vernon Davis or Chris Thompson, whoever's always going to get the rock. And I don't know how much of that stems from the injury to Jameson Crowder and whatnot, but Jameson Crowder has been certainly left out of this Washington Redskins offense. While Jerron Brown, double-digit targets in I believe the last three games, he's been fantastic here for the most part for Arizona. But the Arizona offense is not something I really want to buy into either.
Look, Carson Palmer has, like, I think, three consecutive 300-yard games.
But they're as ugly as 300-yard games get.
But they're still 300-yard games.
They are. Is that sustainable, though? I don't know the answer to that question.
I think they got to keep throwing the ball. Look, he's getting sacked a lot, and he might get injured at some point. But he's throwing a lot because they have absolutely no running game. It's bad. It's like Chris Johnson's not good.
Nope.
Andre Ellington's a receiver. He's not a runner. Mm-hmm. They tried to put Elijah Penny in near the goal line, and he immediately got stoned. It's not good.
No, it's not particularly good. But, you know, I still think that, as you mentioned, John Brown comes back. He gets, like, I think 25% of the snaps, something along those lines, which doesn't really cut into Jerron Brown's work. I think Jerron Brown still played over 93% of snaps on Sunday with even John Brown back. So anything is J.J. Nelson really losing time. So Jerron Brown does look safer going forward, and that's why I made the trade.
Yeah, I think you did good there.
No, you don't, because I took the Jameson Crowder side.
Oh, you took the Jameson Crowder side.
I took the Jameson Crowder side.
I like the Jameson Crowder side just for the fact that there's so many mouths to feed now.
There are.
And we've seen him produce in the past, and hopefully maybe the bye week
gets him healthy.
There's a lot of mouths to feed in Washington, too.
Oh, there are. Yeah. There are a lot of mouths to feed in Washington. But I don't think Jameson Crowder has forgot how to be as good as he was last year. People love Jameson Crowder.
I think the bottom line for me is Crowder's not healthy.
I understand
that.
I don't
even know if the bye week's going to solve that.
Well, I'm hoping it is. That's kind of why I'm in this league. And like, a lot of this is about, I didn't tell you any of this, obviously. I'm 3-1. I can afford the bye right now and see if I get anything on Jameson Crowder. In all honesty, I picked up Jerron Brown Tuesday night for like $8, and I shipped him away with Jameson Crowder.
I think that was a good move. Look, I understand the Jerron Brown love, but you know, if John Brown's there, J.J. Nelson, and Fitzgerald's going to get his.
Yeah. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we go live on TV. Coming up this hour here, we're going to get your defense streams. We're going to get a little either-or with running backs, and we're going to get all the headlines we can. Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Dr. A also joining us here this hour. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Ooh.